Gary Myers, he's the author of How About Them Cowboys, Inside the Huddle with the Stars and the Legends, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Gary, how you doing?
What's happening, Bill?
Well, we're just kind of trying to decipher a team in Green Bay right now as to what ails them. In the meantime, you've got a lot to think about when it comes to your book and How About Them Cowboys, and you're talking about stars and legends and things that went completely right. Well, we're trying to figure out what's going completely wrong. What makes a team great?
These days in the NFL, there are two things that make a team great: a great head coach and a great quarterback. And if you have both of those in place, I can't say you're virtually guaranteed success, but you're going to be, you know, one of the better teams in the league. And the Patriots have obviously been able to sustain it. And I'm not sure we'll ever see anything like that again. But when you look around the league now at the teams that are doing well, they have that coach quarterback combination like they have with the Rams and the Saints and the Chiefs. Although once we get to January, I'm not so sure about Andy Reid.
Yeah,
there are a lot of questions coming up in Green Bay about Mike McCarthy and how much longer he'll be the coach there.
Right. We were sitting here discussing that just a little while ago when Bill Belichick's name came up, and you talk about the Patriots. Because my partner, Gary Ellerson, we do the Packers postgame show, the Green and Gold postgame show, and he used to play for the Packers. He said, look, we're looking at the modern-day Vince Lombardi and Bart Starr in what is in New England. So when you write about the Cowboys and you talk about their stars and their legends, there was always a level of respect and factor. You look at Jimmy Johnson and what Troy Aikman was able to accomplish. Go back to Roger Staubach and Tom Landry. You're right, there's always been the relationship between those two. Love it or hate it, it's those two guys that make the train go.
Yeah, and the Cowboys haven't been in the Super Bowl in 23 years now. And in talking to Jerry Jones extensively, as I did for this book, he feels his biggest failing in his years that he's owned the team is not getting to a Super Bowl with Tony Romo. But he really only had half a season or so of Romo and Parcells together. And if everybody remembers that playoff game in Seattle where Romo dropped the snap and they lost that game and Parcells retired after the season. Since then, in the years after, Romo had Wade Phillips and Jason Garrett as his head coach. So if you put Romo on an elite level, if you consider him that, he didn't have the other half of the combination there with either Wade Phillips or Jason Garrett. Back in the days when the Cowboys were winning championships, like you mentioned, Bill, you know, Staubach and Landry and then Aikman and Jimmy Johnson, you know, they were able to compete against any other coach quarterback combination. But I think it's even more important now just because of the rule changes. And this has become such an offensive league that I think more so now than ever, it's imperative to have an elite quarterback if you're going to want to hold that trophy at the end of the season.
Gary Myers, author of How About Them Cowboys, Inside the Huddle with Stars and Legends. When you go back to Jerry Jones and having a regret, do you think Jerry Jones has been at times his own worst enemy?
Well, sure, because his ego got in the way during the years with Jimmy Johnson. You know, it's interesting, Bill. He bought the team for $154 million, and they were losing $1 million a month. They were also 3-13 in the last year of Landry. So Jimmy had a lot of work to do on the football side, and Jerry had a lot of work to do on the financial side. And they both did their jobs incredibly well, except nobody was writing stories about how Jerry had turned the Cowboys into a moneymaker, but they were writing stories about how Jimmy had turned them into Super Bowl champions. And Jerry got jealous and said, well, you know, I have the title of general manager. None of these moves get made without me. And everybody knew that wasn't true, that Jimmy was really the architect of that team. So there wasn't enough credit to go around, which is what ultimately led to their divorce. So I think that the biggest mistake that Jerry has made, well, that was the biggest, was running off Jimmy. But the second thing was, after Jimmy left, was not ever hiring a general manager to replenish the roster after free agency picked apart those Cowboy teams that won 3 Super Bowls.
That was going to be my question, was, you know, when you talk about ego getting in the way, why did Jerry just want Jimmy out? Just because Jimmy got all the credit for building that team?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of things going on behind the scenes there. Jimmy expressing interest in being the first coach and general manager of the Jaguars right around the time that they were making their second Super Bowl run. Jerry felt very disrespected and felt that Jimmy wasn't being loyal. I mean, he was in the fifth year of a 10-year contract at that point. And the one that really signaled the beginning of the end was at a league meeting after the 93 season in Orlando, where all the NFL people were gathered around, and at one table was a bunch of Cowboy employees and former Cowboy employees, including some that Jerry had fired. And Jimmy was sitting at that table with guys like North Turner and Dave Wannstedt and some others. And Jerry walked over and proposed a toast to the Cowboys having just won back-to-back Super Bowls. And you could hear a pin drop at the table. Nobody raised their glass to toast Jerry because a lot of people sitting there had been fired by Jerry.
Right.
And he felt like Jimmy, of all people, should have backed him up there, at least, like, stood up and raised his glass. And that was preceded by about an hour or 2 hours. Jerry in the bar that night telling a couple of writers that there were 500 coaches that could win the Super Bowl with the Cowboys, yeah, with their talent.
One of the things that I found so interesting was, when you start talking about championship teams, the distinction between championship teams of great quarterbacks along with great relationships with great coaches. And I wanted to expound upon that because they had some really good ones there in Dallas for a long time, didn't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, during the Landry years, once he decided on he had Craig Morton initially, and then he after he took over for Don Meredith is what I meant to say. And so he had Craig Morton initially, and Roger Staubach backing him up. And there was a game, I think it was 1971 in Chicago, where Landry, who called the plays and used to use a guard as a messenger to send him in, he couldn't decide on who his starting quarterback should be, so he used the quarterback as the messenger, which, if you can imagine that,
right,
alternating the quarterbacks. But, you know, after that game, which they lost, and he went on and picked Staubach, and they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. He and Staubach had a really interesting relationship. Staubach used to drive Landry crazy with all the running. You know, Tom prefers quarterbacks to stay in the pocket, and Staubach would have preferred to call the plays himself. And then they got to three championship games after Staubach with Danny White, and in the first 3 years after Staubach, and they lost all of those. And then we know what kind of success that Aikman and Jimmy had together. And like I mentioned a while ago, that Jerry's biggest regret is that they couldn't get it to a Super Bowl with Tony Romo, who he always considered to be an elite player. And I just think it really accentuates that unless you have a really great head coach that you can count on to make the right decisions leading into a game, and then when the game is on the line, you can figure he's going to outcoach the other guy. It's really difficult to win without one of those coaches.
When you had a chance to go through interviews for this book, I know you talked to Jerry Jones, his son Steven, and I think Jerry Jr. and his daughter. And mm-hmm. So what do you find the most intriguing about this organization then and now?
Well, now it's really a $5 billion mom-and-pop operation. And that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, the three kids that you mentioned all have significant roles in the day-to-day operation of the team. Steven's really involved in the football. Charlotte is the chief brand officer, and Jerry Jr. was really instrumental in a lot of things that are in the new stadium and in their new training facility. What really surprised me is that how close the family really is, not just business-wise, but they go on vacations together, and invariably Jerry will call a board meeting in the middle of a vacation, and he'll sit with his kids and discuss business. Early on, which changed from that early on when he bought the team, in 1989, Steven was his only one of his kids that was working with him from day one. Jerry Jr. was in school at Georgetown in Washington, and Charlotte was working for a congressman in Washington, and eventually they all came in and became part of the Cowboys operation.
Who's going to take it over when Jerry decides to walk away?
You know, that was probably the funniest part of my 5 hours of interviews with Jerry is that I was trying to ask him that question and saying, okay, when you die, who takes over? And it's not the easiest thing to ask somebody, you know, okay, after you're dead, who's taking over, you know?
Right.
So I was kind of stumbling over the question, and I'm never shy about asking questions. And he started laughing. He goes, come on, Gary, just ask me, who's taking over after I'm dead? I go, yeah, Jerry, that's what I was trying to ask you. And he's splitting it among his three kids. They'll each get a third, but Stephen, being that he's the oldest and he's the only one that's been there since day one, like I mentioned, he'll have the vote at the league meetings. And I imagine that he will be considered the day-to-day owner and you know, have Jerry's office and really run the operation. And the big question then is, will Stephen, who's real involved in the football side of it right now, will Stephen take the title of general manager, or will he correct his father's biggest mistake and go out and hire a general manager himself?
That was going to be my next question. Do they then go get a general manager? The other question is, you know, when one particular sibling takes it over, is there sibling rivalry and jealousy? I mean, is this going to be a harmonious thing, or is this going to be something that then becomes contentious? And we're reading about, after Jerry's gone, three Joneses fighting over control of a team and the fortune.
Well, I mean, it's hard to predict the future, but and then when that dynamic takes place where, you know, Jerry's gone and it's up to the three kids, but he has told his kids that you'll accomplish much more together than you ever will by yourself. And because I do think that they work so closely together right now and they work so well together, I think it'll be a smooth transition just based on what I know. But you know how it goes when there's a lot of money involved and power and all that. It's a family situation. You know, weird things can happen. But I think that he has set it up as such that they'll probably avoid that. But again, until it happens, you can't know for sure.
For as many years as they have gone without a championship, has the royalty place of the Dallas Cowboys fallen? I mean, obviously, right now it's by the wayside when it comes to the New England Patriots. Everybody is, but has the place, their position, so to speak, has that fallen by the wayside? Do you think a little bit? Has there been a tarnish on that because they have not gotten a championship in a while?
Well, sure. I mean, just because you know you're asking the question, then you know then that's. There's some truth to it because, you know, people feel that way. That's what prompts the question. If they're winning Super Bowls, then you never would ask that. So, sure, I think that the fact that they haven't won a Super Bowl in 23 years tarnishes them somewhat, but it hasn't hurt them financially, I can tell you that. That the value of the team just keeps going up and up, and it's worth $5 billion now, which is much more than any other team in the world. And I would venture to say that they're as popular now around the world and in this country as they ever have been, as Cowboy fan clubs all over the country. I know that the Packer fans travel great, and I'm not sure, you know, if there are Packer fan clubs all over the country, but I don't think that the fact that the Cowboys haven't won it has hurt their popularity. I mean, I've just seen it firsthand, you know, during the course of doing some book tours in the last month or so, that people are as passionate and is loyal to the Cowboys now as when they were winning championships. The difference is this generation of Cowboy fans, you know, 23 years and under, haven't known a championship, where their parents, you know, certainly experienced, you know, the really good times in the early 90s.
Gary, it's great stuff. It's called How About Them Cowboys, an inside huddle with the stars and the legends. And I'm sitting here looking at the order form right now over on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle for almost $15, $20 for the audio CD, hardcover for $18-something via the Prime. So it's everywhere. And best of luck on the book. A great insight. We appreciate you joining us again for a couple minutes, okay?
Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Gary Myers, author of How About Them Cowboys, Inside the Huddle with the Stars and the Legends, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.